Ladies and gents, welcome back to today's video. And what on earth is going on in China at the moment?
Tonight, the most widespread Chinese protests in years, at least 10 cities, including Shanghai, have now spread to Hong Kong. And the unrest is now affecting global markets. Shares of Apple fell nearly 3%.
While NASDAQ and the S&P 500 both fell more than 1.5%. Apple shares dropped following reports that production at the world's largest iPhone factory has been impacted by the unrest.
Furious, some people yelled what, until now, few would have even dared say aloud.
Xi Jinping!
Down with Xi Jinping. Down with the Communist Party.
Well, we're going to get into all of this today, but it is really kicking off over there, which is, again, we've talked about this many times before. What happens when you enforce such strict draconian measures on any people, regardless of where they live in the world, eventually people will reach a breaking point as all the anger and the frustration just builds up. Eventually you have an outlet. And that actually happened just this week with an apartment block burning down with people inside. Now, it gets even worse than this, in that the whole reason that people couldn't get out the apartment block was because the door was welded shut in order to save lives, as the message is. But it's not just this that I want to share today in this video. China is also building, right now as we speak, it's almost completed, a quarantine camp, or that's what, of course, they're calling it, which houses 87,000 pods. Now, we've seen similar camps like this being built all over the world, not just in China, but in a lot of Western nations. Of course, you don't hear about this anymore. It's not on the news. We talked about it maybe a year ago in 2021 and 2020 when these camps were being built. Now, a lot of people just assume they've been disbanded and they've been taken apart. Not true. These camps that exist all around the world are still there. They are maintained by a skeleton staff, but they are still there. What were they built for if we're going back, 18 months, 2 years now? What was the reason the government said they were built for? It was just in case of they needed to isolate people. Now, if you read through any of the guidance and the policies, they are ready for the next pandemic. That is, of course, what we heard last week as well with the new health pass. If you haven't watched that video, go and check it out. The new health pass is being created under the United Nations, under the G20. Pretty much everyone country-wise has signed up for this. Is for your health, for your benefit, if you haven't had certain inoculations. And I'm not just talking about COVID here, I'm talking about other things. Then your pass will go red. It will be a traffic light system, green, amber, and red. And if you have a red, then you simply cannot travel. Why am I mentioning this? Because I want to link it to today's video, is because this is exactly what we're seeing in the test case, which is China, where people traveled from all over China. But finally, when they got to or near the location and they scanned their travel pass, their digital ID, which tracks their face and their gait and everything else, the pass said, red, you are not fit for travel. So yes, some people managed to get to the bank in order to try and protest, but they were met by military resistance. Well, let's link this to what's going on at the moment. And I'll start with point number one. Just over the last few days, an electrical fire broke out in an apartment block. And if you know China, these blocks are not small. So we understand from the reports, again, I can never confirm anything in detail that comes out of countries like China because we just don't know. But from the reports, it was a 47-story apartment block. It was an electrical fire and people couldn't get out because the doors were welded shut for COVID health and safety, if that's what we can even call it. And I don't need to go into graphic or gruesome detail to describe how those people in that block actually died. But what this actually did was it created somewhat of a fire in the bellies of many of the Chinese people who then took to the streets. Because the other thing you need to understand with the situation was The fire trucks couldn't get to the apartment block. Why? Because there were blockades, and not just that, because of the way sometimes roads and cities are built in China, there was a lot of cars blocking the route. So these fire trucks simply couldn't get to the apartment building that had the fire. So, of course, you look at this and you look at the frustration that exists among the people there who are, and this is where belief structures come in. So we'll talk a little bit of psychology here as well. But you have these belief structures, and the belief structures are that the government is good, the government are taking care of us. Okay, it's been going on for 3 years. Okay, everyone else is, you know, these policies have gone away now. They're not having the lockdowns and everything else, but China still has it. And what you're starting to see is this movement, this change of mindset within the people. And this is where I want to talk about another thing, because there was just an article that came out today in the UK, and again, it's been linked to a couple of other articles in other countries, where what we're seeing is the decline of faith and the decline of religion, in particular in the UK. And it's completely correlated, this massive, just, it is just a cliff drop off in Christianity in England, Wales, Scotland, you know, the UK as a whole. So we've had this drop off in Christianity as we have had this increase, and they're perfectly correlated in terms of no belief system, so no faith, no religion. And I'm not saying this to, by the way, to criticize, or if you don't have any faith, this is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it's quite interesting when you look at previous events in history where you didn't have people who would just go along with, and I'm talking about almost globally here, anything that the governments would say. People were always very much free thinking. And this links to a quote, I guess we can call it, which is very, very old. A lot of people have taken claim for it every 100 years or so, but it really goes back a couple thousand years, really, if you find the first sort of source of this. And it is that if you don't believe in anything, i.e. you don't have a belief structure, again, whether that's faith for you or whether it's something different, but if you don't have a strong belief structure and you've never really studied that and understand what that means for you, then the second part is you'll believe anything. And if you think about that, if you don't believe in anything, you'll believe anything or everything. And you start looking at what's happened with governments and media and everything else, it kind of explains, in my mind at least, and again, I'm not saying this is true, I'm just saying this is true for me and my belief system. This is what I've been seeing a lot of, in that people will just go along with, and even if there's no logic behind something. A lot of people, and I've said this before, are good people, and I really do believe that. People are good, people are honest, people are caring, they care about their communities and their families, and they want to do the right thing. And I think that's why even during lockdowns in the West, where certain things made absolutely no sense whatsoever, and it was very clear it made no sense, people still went along with it. Why? Is it because, you know, of, you hear a lot of times sheeple and the sheep and all this stuff? I don't use any of those terms, I just want to say. Is it because of that? No, I don't think so. And I don't really look at people in that sort of more derogatory way. I see it as most people are good. And I really do think that. And they want to go along with and help out the community. So you see all these policies going through. So even when you, and the media and the government to some extent really takes advantage of the good nature of people. Of course they will. They have people that do propaganda. They have experts in mind control and all sorts of other things. So this is what you actually have going through society. And is, and I'm sharing all that because it's very particularly true in China, where they don't necessarily, they do have faith, they do have religions, but in some regards, that the faith is towards the Chinese Communist Party. That is really what I see. And I may be wrong in that, but again, this is what I'm showing belief systems. That is my belief system of what I see. And when I speak to Chinese people, I see that the faith is behind the government to deliver them. And you've got to think about it. Why wouldn't they have that faith? If you see where China was decades ago and where it is today, it has grown exponentially. It is, and it will overtake, people don't like this, but it will overtake the United States in not too distant a future. And I think this is where a lot of the conflict is coming in at the moment, because no one likes to lose power, even though that is the transition that we are seeing. And it's very clear with the media, you never see protests on the media. You never see the general populace, even when there's tens of thousands or that one protest, 100,000 on the streets of London, is never televised. You know, they don't televise these things. But as soon as it comes to something in Russia or China, all of a sudden the media is all over it and they're televising it. Why? Well, very simply, is because the media already knows in some regards where the conflict is going to be in the future. And it's quite clear we're already seeing it with Russia. We're seeing that conflict. But we haven't yet seen China conflict. But we know it's coming. We know there's going to be some sort of event in the near future over Taiwan, the island of Taiwan. We know that is going to happen at some point. And I believe that a lot of this right now and a lot of what you see in the media is setting everything up for that event. So this has really brought us on to stage two then, where the Chinese people really erupted. And a lot of it was the students, so it's the younger populace as well. So it was a lot of students. And again, you've got to look at the psychology behind that and the belief systems and structures behind that. Why did they erupt so much? Well, it's because they feel lost right now. And for good reason, statistically, they are correct. If you think about the people who graduate from university right at the start of a recession, statistically, they are never going to perform as well as people who graduate at the end of a recession, where they're going into this new growth period where hiring starts and all these other things. Think of it like this. If you are an employer or a recruiter, who are you going to employ? Are you going to employ the person that got their degree 5 years ago at the start of a recession, hasn't been doing anything with it since because not through their own fault, they just couldn't get a job? Or are you going to recruit and employ the person who's just graduated fresh out of university? It's pretty obvious who that's going to be. So what we're seeing right now, which isn't talked about, but in China, you have an incredibly high unemployment rate among the young people. It's somewhere in the region of 18.5%. Again, we can't get exact accurate figures coming out of China, but I would say it's somewhere in that region. It could be a lot higher though, especially when it comes to graduate jobs right now. So of course they come home expecting to get these jobs which have already been offered to them in writing, and now we're seeing, because of this slowdown in China, a lot of jobs being cut. So we are seeing these mass protests now. And again, I'm not going to show you a lot of the footage here because some of it is pretty, I wouldn't say extreme. I don't mind watching this kind of footage, but putting it onto a platform like YouTube, the video will be banned straight away. So I'm not going to put any of the footage on the video here, but you can look at some of this footage. It is quite extreme in the sort of crackdowns that are going on right now and the government response. Now, this reminds me somewhat of an event that happened in China in 1989. Some of you will remember it. It was the Tiananmen Square massacre, where you had mainly students that were protesting. And again, I won't get into all the background of it because it's quite long, but there was a protest, originally a peaceful protest. It was still fairly peaceful, I would say. And because the government couldn't get resolve or resolution with the protesters, eventually they surrounded them with 200,000 soldiers, as well as heavy equipment such as tanks. And you'll always remember, and I think I've got the image here, this was the famous image, which I think everyone around the world has seen by this point, of the person with their shopping bag stood in front of the tank in Tiananmen Square. And if you don't know what actually happened there, it was a massacre. And again, we still can never get exact figures, but it's anywhere from 500 people to 10,000 people were massacred that day. So the CCP knows very well that the Chinese people will eventually turn given a good enough reason. So they have to be very careful and control what happens. And that is why we actually saw as well, even people who were just there filming, actually recording on their phone, the tower block, the apartment block in flames, were very badly, brutally beaten, thrown to the ground and kicked, their phones smashed, and then thrown into vans and all sorts of other things. Why? Because the whole idea or the concept behind the government approach is that if no one sees it, then it won't spread. But they know if these sort of things spread and people realize, hold on, it was the government policy that locked those people into the apartment block, then that's where problems arise. But actually, and this is where a lot of, you often don't hear me talk about protesting and things like that. And that's because I have a very different opinion on protests. Yes, I've talked about the French Revolution, where it really kicked off and then it went way too far with pretty much everyone getting the guillotine by the end of it. But the reason why is because I have a different view, having studied protests and again, the psychology behind it. Have you ever thought, why do the governments let you go and protest on the streets? Why do they let you stand outside Parliament or, you know, the White House or places like that and shout and get all angry in your big groups? Usually on days where none of the politicians are there, it's really not achieving anything at all. But people think it does, or it makes them feel good to actually go out and protest. And that's fine. If that gets out the frustration, then that's a good thing. But the governments know that. They know that if you protest and you go on the street and you shout and you get all that, think of it like a volcano. Why do volcanoes have vents? It's to actually release that pressure. Eventually, if you don't release that pressure via protest and other things, you have a huge eruption. So the government's not stupid. They know that. That's why they allow protests and they control it. It's nothing to do with free speech, like a lot of people think, because if there were truly free speech, then it would be televised and the media would televise it and let everyone know all these people are protesting. So that isn't the real purpose. If you look at where protest movements have been very effective, it hasn't been from violence. Well, yes, sometimes it has been, but a lot of time it's been from very, very peaceful methods. Look at what happened in India with Mahatma Gandhi. That was very effective. Look what happened with Martin Luther King. Again, very effective. So there is a number of books have been written on it, how you actually create change. But you do need a leader behind it. Without that strong leadership or that strong figure, it just tends to be a mass of people actually protesting. And it doesn't tend to bring about much change. And you think about what happened during COVID and the lockdowns, where there were mass protests, up to 100,000 people walking through the streets of London, if you remember that one. A lot of people aren't even aware that protest even took place. It wasn't televised and it made absolutely no difference to the policies that were enacted or the emergency measures that were enacted and new policies put in place that were never removed. And just to loop back to what I said at the start about these detention centres and camps that still exist all over the place, you've got to ask, why do they still exist? What are they expecting in the future? Why do these camps that would probably house millions of people globally, if you actually look into these camps and the numbers of beds and what do we call them, the sort of containers, I guess, that have been retrofitted as quarantine housing or whatever you want to say, why do they all still exist? And in China, remember, there's still 2 million people that are imprisoned in camps as of today, 2 million people. And yet, where is the outcry? Where is the public outcry and, you know, people waving the flags for these people? You just don't see it. And the other thing is that next year, so in 2023, you're going to have between 11 and 12 million students graduating in China, where there just isn't going to be graduate jobs for them. And then the year after will be even more, and the year after even more. So this problem is just going to compound until they either remove all of these restrictions, and I'm pretty sure they've already figured this out. They must know that there's something brewing. It's a bit like the, you know, the boiling frog analogy. They must know that there's something brewing. And actually, there was a statement put out just overnight, and I've got it here. And this was from the Chinese authorities. They said long-term restrictions must be rectified and avoided. So whether or not that is true, I think only time will tell, but I would take that with a grain of salt or a pinch of salt, depending on your country and the expression there. But I just want to wrap up here, I guess, with coming back to that expression that I said about if you don't believe in anything, you'll believe anything. And there's another part to that, which isn't often linked together, but that is around human freedoms, I guess we can say. A lot of people believe that everyone wants to be free. That's all everyone wants on this earth, that everyone wants to be free, have complete freedom and do whatever they want in life. But actually, that's not quite true. Yes, you do have a lot of people who want to be free, but if everyone wanted to be free, you'd see a lot more business owners and entrepreneurs and self-employed and things like that. It's my experience having mentored a lot of people, thousands of people, including having been an entrepreneur in residence at a university. What I've found is that a lot of people really, they want the freedom, but they don't necessarily want to create that freedom on their own. That's a small proportion of society. A lot of people want to be given the freedom. And this is why, think about taxes. People actually pay taxes to the government, and the government might give them a small thing back, like in the UK it's National Health Service, or it might be benefits to people who are struggling right now, and things like that. So people, everyone wants the freedom, but at the same time, a lot of people want to be given the freedom by the government. And unfortunately, the government knows this. They know that people think in this way. And this is why we talked about the sort of steps before, when I talked about this last year, the yes ladder, where the restrictions get tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. And we're still seeing this today. People just don't realize it. And then the government will loosen it a little bit. So it'll be, you know, two steps forward and then they'll loosen a bit, and then two steps forward and they'll loosen a bit. So people have this illusion that they're becoming more free all the time. And that was certainly true in the past, but I don't believe it's true of today. If you actually follow a lot of the legislation that's passed all the time, you can see that it doesn't give more freedom to people. It actually restricts freedom. And I think into the era that we're moving into, it really is a case of boiling the frog in that analogy. And I think that freedoms are being eroded away at a rapid rate, especially as we're moving towards this sort of one world government. And again, I could put loads of clips in today, but I think you've probably seen most of these already, where so many of our world leaders have outrightly said that we are moving towards this one world government, that we are going to move into this new world in 2027 to 2030, as they're never quite clear on these timelines. The other thing to be very clear on with this is that just because they say in a lot of these white papers, and again, I've gone over these so many times in the video, so I won't go over them all now, but you've heard me each time I've read over all of these papers and policies and things that they're putting out. People see these documents where it says that we're going to make it a more equitable world. We're going to raise the living standards of people in developing nations, and the world's going to be more fair. People read that and hear that and they say, great, people in the West. They say, great, this is fantastic. And I agree. I think it is great that we're going to have this more equitable world and it's going to be more fair, because I think that's the right thing to do. But what people don't realize is that it's going to be a lot of it at the expense of people in the West, because the living standards of people in the West are going to have to be reduced in order to bring up the living standards elsewhere. It is just resources and mathematics and statistics and economics. This is just the way it is. You can't increase the developing nations at the rate they're talking about, and it's an extremely rapid rate, without slowing down the developed nations' progress at the same time. I've said quite a lot there, and there's probably a lot for you to digest, but I think that kind of wraps up everything that's going on in China right now, but not just in China, but also other parts of the world. We are seeing this boiling frog mentality going on. I think that for some people, by the time this all comes about, it's probably going to be too late once the digital identity and digital currency launches. So this is why I always say, just to prepare in the best way that you know how, the same as I've done as well. This is all we can do. We've just got to prepare in the best way that we possibly can. So thank you so much for watching today. I really appreciate you as a subscriber, and for those of you who took advantage of the sale on my finance course over the weekend, appreciate that. I'm just going to leave it open a couple more days in case anyone else wants to take advantage of it. All right. Thanks a lot. Take care. God bless.